Our passage of scripture this afternoon is Isaiah 51, and I will read verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from whom you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone, and blessed him and increased him. This scripture in the Old Testament, referring to Abraham and referring to Sarah, applies to us today. And it applies to us because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And this is one of those. And it doesn't talk about rock and roll, but it talks about our rock and our hole. And so I start with my first point, and that is number one point, to listen. Listen. He says in verse 51, 1, listen to me. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. And so if you're somebody who follows after righteousness, if you want to get close to the Lord, this is a word for you. Listen to me, you who seek the Lord. If you're somebody who is seeking the Lord, this is for you. This is not a message for the unrighteous. Unless you want to be righteous, this is a lesson for you who follow after righteousness. God's command for us to listen or hear is a common command that we see throughout the scripture. It is applied to theology, and it is applied to our love for God. We see in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, it says, hear, O Israel. Notice the hear. That means listen. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The command to listen was for the benefit of God's people. It says also in Deuteronomy 4, verse 1, now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I shall teach you to observe, that you may live. These statutes and judgments, the things we read in the Word, are that we may live, that we might have real life, and not just life here, but even eternal life. And then he goes on and he says, go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, is giving you. This is a command that Jesus gives us repeatedly. Jesus says, he who has ear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He says this same thing in Matthew 11, 15, Matthew 13, 9, Matthew 13, 43, Mark 4, 9, Mark 4, 23, Mark 7, 16, Mark 8, 18, Luke 8, 8, and Luke 14, 35, and probably a few more verses where he calls people to hear and listen that I'm not including here. These are just the ones that say, he who has ears to hear, and God gave us our ears for hearing, let him hear. In the book of Revelation, Jesus again is speaking to us, and he applies this command to listen to all seven of the seven churches. And those churches, I believe, represent every church that's ever existed, from the first church that was ever started to our churches today. He says, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And again, he says that same thing to each of the seven churches. In Revelation 2, 7, 2, 11, 2, 17, 2, 29, 3, 6, 3, 13, 3, 22. And here in Isaiah 51, the command to listen is given to a singled out specific group of people, described in two beautiful phrases, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Hopefully that's all of us here today. We're the ones that are following after righteousness. We're the ones who seek the Lord. And this message is particularly for us. Note in Isaiah's lifetime, there was a smaller and smaller group of people. It says that I believe Isaiah had better days, but by the time those who were godly were few, they were a small remnant. And this was even in Isaiah's time. Isaiah writes at the very beginning of his book, he says, "Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom, we would have become like Gomorrah." And so he's saying within their society at that time, as Israel at that time had gotten so wicked, and if you read the rest of chapter 1, he talks about how from the head to the toe they were sick and morally sick. He's saying they got so bad that unless they were left this very small number of people, this small remnant, they would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. They were that bad. And but here in verse 50, in chapter 51, he's talking to that small remnant. He's saying, "You who follow after righteousness, this is what I want you to hear. Those who follow after righteousness, who seek the Lord, are not those who are satisfied with their level of righteousness, like as if, oh, I'm righteous enough. But they are the ones that Jesus describes when he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They want more righteousness. They know they're not as righteous as they could be. They know they can improve themselves. And those are the ones that are blessed. And those are the ones that are talked about here. There are people like Paul who knew they have not already attained. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not that I have already attained, or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." And so they are hungering and thirsting. They know they haven't attained yet. They know they need to know and learn more. And so they're ready to listen and hear. They seek the Lord wholeheartedly. It says in Jeremiah 29:12-13, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." You know, when we listen to God and then we pray to him, he listens to us. He hears our prayers. And so part of our listening is part of a conversation that goes back and forth with God. And it says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Who are the people who find God, who are blessed by God? The ones that search with all their heart. Their whole being, they are seeking him. God is not only speaking here to ungodly, and he's not speaking here to the ungodly who refuse to hear, because he says very clearly, Proverbs 28:9, "One who turns his way away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." And so if you're not listening, if you turn your way from away your ear from hearing the law, God says your prayer is an abomination. He's not going to listen to you if you're not listening to him. God, through Isaiah, was speaking to a minority of people, a possibly persecuted group, a likely discouraged group, because they're seeing that they're a small group. Evil men they see were prospering. Evil men were getting ahead and growing in number and in boldness, and the true and godly people were shrinking and maybe even hiding in that day, to the point that they had to hide away from the ungodly. And to this faithful group, Isaiah first says, "Listen." And then, secondly, he says, "Look, look." He says, "Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." And so first he says, listen to my words. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. And then he tells them to look. First, use your ears. Now you use your eyes. And I believe here he's telling them in their imagination in a way to look, because he asked them to look to Abraham, to Sarah, to a hole, to a rock, to a pit. He wants them to look at things that weren't right there in front of them, but he's telling them to look at things that they knew of and that they would see them with their mind's eye. And first he calls them to look at a rock and a hole. He says, look to the rock for which you were hewn, meaning hewn means you're taken out of that rock, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug, which you're dug out of a hole. It's also you're taken out of that hole. And note these descriptions are humble, even humiliating ones. Rock here is not like the rock described in Deuteronomy 32:4. In Deuteronomy 32:4, God is the rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth, and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. God is that rock, and he's righteous, and he's stable, and he's called a rock because he's a rock that you cannot move. He's a rock that, as far as justice, is always going to be there. Rock is used in Scripture also metaphorically to describe not only God, but Christ. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10:4, and they all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ is a rock that in the wilderness followed them and gave them water and sustained them. And those are rocks in Scripture. So God is a rock, Christ is a rock, but the rock and hole here are different. They describe Abraham and Sarah, and not in their strength, but in their weakness and in the feebleness of their old age. He says, look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. In Hebrews 11, we read, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she had judged him who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and this is Abraham, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 when they had their first child together, Isaac. And they are our rock, and they are our hole. And here, God's people are instructed to look at Abraham and Sarah as a rock and hole, because rocky ground does not usually bear much fruit. The promise to Abraham was children. And when they were younger, they tried and tried, I imagine, to have children, but the promise was not fulfilled. Sarah got way past normal age of having children when she was 90 years old when she had Isaac. She is old for having a baby, and Abraham is described in Hebrews 11:3 as good as dead, because he was even older. Rock and hole used for Abraham and Sarah are referring to lifelessness and to the lack of fertility, which we associate with age, with a long time of trying, but without success. And we also associate with a rock and a hole, because a rock doesn't usually bear fruit. It doesn't have babies. A rock doesn't have little baby rocks. The look command is given to you who follow righteousness, to you who seek the Lord in a time of spiritual and moral decline, when the godly are a very small remnant. When we are a small number, this number is way bigger than one or two, aren't they? You may be a small number compared to some crowd at a football game, but compared to Abraham and Sarah, you're a big number. And so he says, look to Abraham when he was alone. Look to Sarah when she was 90. Look, it looks like they cannot have any children and they cannot possibly grow into a multitude of people. But God did it. At the time, even when he's writing to them in Isaiah, even though they were a small number compared to all the unrighteous, they were way more than one or two. There were as a remnant, a small group, but they were still a multitude compared to just Abraham and Sarah. And he's saying to them, if I started with just two, and you all are here now, I can do just the same thing again. I can multiply you even more still. And this is where we get to the third point. Learn. The reason we are to listen and to look is to learn. God blessed and increased Abraham when he was alone. That's how it's described. And he can bless and increase us, though we are few. He says, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. A tendency, the norm, when following after righteousness, when seeking the Lord, doesn't seem to be working, when we're trying and trying and trying to do everything we can, and it's not working, is just what's described in Galatians 6:9. And do not let us grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Our tendency, if we're trying and trying and nothing's happening, is to lose heart, to grow weary, to give up. But Scripture tells us, let us not grow weary. We have promises from God. He's promised to bless us. And even if we don't see the fruit right away, he told us he will bless us and increase us. There is a walking by sight and not by faith. And there's a getting really discouraged. This is what Asaph did, or almost slipped into, in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, Asaph starts with, truly God is good to Israel and such a pure in heart. And then he goes, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. And then he just starts to describe in verse 3, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there's no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here and waters of a cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Meaning that God's people are questioning, look at this, all the ungodly are winning. Is there knowledge? Does God see this? And it says, behold, these are ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. There is poor Asaph. He says, I've been working hard. I've been trying to pursuing righteousness, and it's all in vain. Because God is only blessing the ungodly, and he's not blessing me. And then he says, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought of how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Looking at his condition in life as he saw it, he said, oh, woe is me. Only the evil prosper and I am down. But then later, he comes to his senses. And in verse 17 of that same psalm, it says, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakens. O Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am with you. I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He looked around at the world for a while, and he saw the evil prospering, and he saw that the good people were being put down, and he was one of the good ones, and he was discouraged. But then he came to the sanctuary of God, and he started focusing on God, and he realized that the evil, their winning was very temporary, and they were in slippery places, and they were going to fall, but God would ultimately prosper him. And what he had God himself. He had what was truly the best, and having God was better than everything else. He was strong when he realized what he needed was God. He trusted in the promises for something ahead rather than now. We see the same thing with Peter. Jesus comes to them at night. He's walking at the on the water, and they think there's a ghost coming. And Jesus says to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And Peter had come down out of the boat, and he walked on the water to Jesus. And for a while there, Peter was walking on the water. Can you imagine that? That's a lot of faith. And why could he do that? Because he was looking at Jesus, and his mind was on Jesus. But the passage says the wind started blowing, and it got Peter's mind off of Jesus, and he sunk in the water. And we can be like that. We are walking with God. We're pursuing him, and the winds of life come on us, and we sink for a while. But God is there for us. He picks us up, and Jesus did that for Peter. We are small churches. We are ministering at a time when the wicked winds of an ungodly world are all around us. They are loud and they are boisterous. They make a lot of noise. But God is still speaking. And God still wants us to hear. And God wants us to look at what he's done in the past. He wants us to look at Abraham. And he wants us to remember how he multiplied and increased him. Scripture says, Proverbs 1:20, wisdom calls outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. And I believe that is true today still. Today we have things like sermon audio. We have every kind of book you can imagine about the scripture. We have Bibles in every language. And all of these things we have today so that we might learn, so that we might listen, so we might come and know God and grow in righteousness. And so we're to look to the rock and to the hole, to Sarah and Abraham, who tried when they were younger to have children but didn't. But in the end, they did. Isaac was born. The name Isaac means laughter, because a 90-year-old woman, when she had a baby, she was laughing. And it was a laughter of joy because God had blessed her with the son. And not only did they have that son, but we know afterwards that, as Scripture tells us, Abraham had many sons. Sons who were children of his flesh that were born after Isaac, but also sons who come through faith. There were grandsons, Isaac and Jacob and many after that. But there were also people like us. We are children of Abraham today. God had blessed him. And if we are true Christians and in Christ, we are his. One fathered many, while seeming he'd not father any. An example now of what God can do when we, his people, are weak and few. He can bless and he increase beyond what we can ask or think. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you, through Christ, His death on the cross gave us life. And you, through your Holy Spirit, can help us to spread that life to others around us. You can bless us beyond what we ask or think. You can use us to bless and increase your church and to see it grow, not just here, but everywhere. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that you are not limited. We may be limited, just like Abraham and Sarah, but you are not limited in what you can do. And we thank you for that. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.